Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
The greatest privilege I have is to spend moments with you. Thank you. What a privilege it is. And what I like best about getting together like this is the fact that we get to talk about the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. And we've been talking about the darkness in the land, gross darkness on the people. And everything around us right now, they have put, as the scripture warns, don't woe unto them that put good for evil, evil for good. And we're living in a day when evil is being redefined as something good, and good is being ridiculed as something evil. And if anything is going to change the cultures around the world, and that change is really needed, it's going to be that light has to overcome the darkness. Now, it's not enough that we have the light if the light is under, and the Bible says a bushel, but it means under roof. The ones who need the light are outside. So isn't it interesting that churches have become salt shakers and all the salt's still inside the shaker, or they have the light, but it's all inside the building. What we need to do is get the light into the dark places of the earth, into our culture. So we need to, if America and if the countries of the world are going to be salvaged, it's going to be the presence of light. They have to be reached with the authentic gospel. And that's why our subject is a little changed from the normal. Our subject now is all in order to reach out. In other words, we have to be all in before we can reach out. And here's the problem. If we're not living an authentic gospel and we start to spread that non-authentic gospel around, then we're not going to get the change. The fact is that if anybody be in Christ, old things pass away and everything becomes new. If the old doesn't pass away, then we haven't got the authentic gospel yet. Because remember the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So this is a time when we must be all in order to reach out. When we talk about all in, what we're really talking about is living for Christ without any reservations. That's what it means to be all in. Live for Christ without any reservations. So get ready. Let's learn a couple of things about being all in. Then we're going to talk about how you and I and we together can reach out. But first, you have to be all in before you can reach out. All in means living for Christ without reservations. Here's what it means. It means to be fully committed to a task or an endeavor without any reservation. In fact, it means to give or be prepared to give all of one's energy and resources. If you're all in, then we're not holding anything back. In fact, another definition is to be wholehearted, not merely going through the motions. Got that? It requires a whole heart. God, if you seek God with a whole heart, no half-hearted approach will do. All in means living for Christ without reservations. It means doing whatever it takes with zero compromise in any and every area of life. That's what it means to be all in. And so that's what's really important. Before we get to reach out, we've got to be living for Christ without reservations. I want you to look at this verse of scripture. It comes from the J.B. Phillips translation. And in fact, take a look at this. The man who trusts God, now watch this, but with inward, look at this, with inward reservations, is like a wave of the sea, carried forward by the wind one moment and driven back the next. Look at the next part of this verse. That sort of man cannot hope to receive anything from God. And the life of a man of, now here it is, divided loyalty will reveal instability at every turn. Ah, have you got that? You see, we have to be all in. Can't be half-hearted. Can't be in some days and out other days. All in is what's needed. So let's first talk about what it really means to be all in. So here we go. Number one, to be all in means, and it is, in fact, the essence of being a genuine Christian. Now, fake anything is not a good idea. It's not just about fake news these days. It's about fake religion. It's about fake Christianity. Watch this. Because Jesus says, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, it's not going to work. It cannot be my disciple. In fact, look at this. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all he has cannot be my disciple. You have to be all in to become a Christian. In fact, I want to see a couple more verses. If anyone will come after me, let him deny all the other things he'd like to do and take up his cross and follow me. That's what it means to be all in. It means the essence of being a genuine Christian. Here's the Message translation. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. Ah. See, being all in means we follow Christ. We're not the leader. We're the follower. We're not the teacher. We're the student. So watch this now, because it's important to understand that living for Christ without reservation is the essence of really being a Christian. Now, it's also the way of salvaging one's own life. Because look at the scripture. And Jesus says, whosoever will salvage or save his life shall lose it. If you just want to do your own thing, you're going to lose it. You can grab and clutch and grasp, and you'll always come up empty. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. And look at this. And whosoever will lose his life in contrast with this, for my sake, shall find it. Ah, it's the way. Living without reservation for Christ is the way to salvage our own life. That verse goes on to say this. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? What is the profit if you gain the whole world? If you had all the money you could ever spend? If you get all the accolades from people you could ever receive? What benefit is all of that if you lose your own soul? It's interesting. The suicide rate among wealthy people gets covered up mostly, but the numbers are skyrocketing. Because after all the grabbing and clutching, they come up empty and they are discouraged, which leads to despair, which leads to depression, which leads to what's the point in life? So they end it. Living for Christ is not only the essence of genuine salvation, but is the way of saving one's own life. And then, living for Christ without reservation, it means to live by every word of God without exception. We live by what God says. Look at this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, look at this now, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ah, we live God's ideas, not man's made up stuff. Ha, isn't it? Oh, it could be comical, but it's not. It's tragic. People actually think they are smarter than God. The created think they're smarter than the Creator. They put their ideas above the ideas of God. I don't care what God says. My idea is this. And they think they're smarter than God. It's interesting because in the book of Isaiah, we learn this. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours." Now, the heavens, and we're not talking about clouds a few thousand feet up there. The heavens, the closest galaxy, is 200,000 light years away. Light travels at 7.5 times our world in a second. So you take that speed of 7.5 times the world times the number of seconds in 200,000 years to get to the closest galaxy, and that's just the beginning. The closest galaxy. When God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways," and that they are as high as the heavens are above the earth, we better listen up. But man, proudful man, he thinks he's smarter than God. Let's go back to that verse for a moment. Man should not live just by the food he eats, but he should live by every word of God. Everything that comes out of the mouth of God. You want to be smart? You want to be wise? You want to learn how to respond to all the situations in life? Then respond God's way. I wish I had put on the screen a picture of a maze. You know what a maze is. I mean, there's all these trails you have to walk through and you try to get to the other side. And you turn left and it's a dead end wall. You turn right and it looks like a dead end wall. And you can't find your way. You're lost in the maze. But if you had a camera, or if you could look down on the maze from above, wouldn't be hard to figure out how to get to the other side. That's what it's like to live by the word of God. It's living your life from a perspective above where you see the whole picture and know which directions to take all the time. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now watch this. Before Jesus comes along and he asks this question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say?" And now we're talking about fake Christianity. We say the right words. We say, "Yeah, I believe, yeah, yeah, Lord, Lord, Lord." But we don't do what he says. It reminds me of another scripture that says, in Matthew chapter 7, I think it's verse 21, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." To be all in means to live by every word of God about every subject. Let me talk about that on every subject. How to treat your wife if you're a husband. How do we treat your husband if you're a wife? How to raise your children if you're a parent. How to treat your parents if you're a child. How to conduct business. There isn't a subject that God's word doesn't have some smarts to follow. And so an authentic Christian is one who's all in and one who's living for Christ without any reservation. And whatever he says, we just do it. It's very simple. You see, the rules and the laws of God are not interfering to us. They are happy guidelines to do that on which our heart is already set. I want to be all in, so here are the laws, here's the rules, here's the way we should walk, God says. And it's the way to peace, great peace of they which love thy laws. Nothing shall offend, nobody can put you off. So living for Christ without reservation means by living by every word of God. Now, it also means to continue the maintenance of your convictions. In other words, convictions are different than opinions. They're not for sale. They're not up for change. They are something you live or die by. And so living for Christ means having convictions and maintaining them. So I want you to see a couple of parts about this. First of all, is a need to have convictions about every subject, to establish standards. That's what it means. Look at this wonderful scripture. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, and is it he coming in? Look at what God does. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What prevents the enemy from getting into our lives is we've got standards to stop him. Cold. Standards. So we must establish standards. Let's look at another verse about this. And this is one of our texts, by the way, at nothingbutthetruth.org, our website. And it's our commitment. Here it is. It's our commission from God. Declare ye among the nations. And publish. Now watch this. And set up a standard. Look at this. Publish that standard. And don't conceal it. Tell the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. What are the standards? We get a lot of flack for that. Because some of them, in a certain theological realm, say that we're preaching legalism. They mistake, you see, the difference. Old Testament, in the Old Testament, God applies the law in order to change behavior. But in the New Testament, we find that grace changes the heart so it wants to and is empowered to obey the law. So just because you acknowledge the standard, grace is the unmerited power of God in your life, enabling us to hold the standards, okay? We're not saved because we keep the law. We keep the law because we're saved. Now watch this. The scripture is plain. Set among the nations. Declare them. Set up a standard. Publish them. Don't conceal. Don't try and get people in the kingdom by slipping in some mediocrity, or just tell the whole truth. Establish standards. Now, that's what it means to be all in. It means to live for Christ without reservation by establishing standards. Now look at this. Those standards are not good enough for a week and then a month and another short time, and then we go off of them and back and forth. They must be maintained. So comes the scripture that says, don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing, that renewing of your mind. Keep the standards. Keep the standards going. In fact, the J.B. Phillips translation puts it this way. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. So, living all in, living for Christ without reservation, means to continue the maintenance of convictions, to have standards, and to maintain those standards. Now, it also means to maintain a vertical connection with God. And we do that by His Spirit. I don't know if I've ever taught, I think somewhere along the line I've taught I used to call it the glory of the ascension. Remember? Jesus told His disciples, I'm going away. And they go, oh, sad. What do you mean? Okay, we're going to come with you. He said, no, you can't come. And they said, you mean you're going someplace that we can't follow you? He said, yeah, that's right. And we know that happened. He left here. That's the story of the ascension. Remember? The angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up? This same Jesus is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go. He's going to come back, but right now he's leaving. They didn't know what to do. So they went into the upper room and they waited. Now, here's what Jesus said. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, catch the genius of God here. So Jesus was physically here. This is an amazing story. Man, God came here. That's stunning, as one of us. But he didn't stay here because as just one of us, because then he could only be with one of us or a group of us at a time. And what about all the people in Europe and South America, North America? He could only be one place. So he said, look, I'm going to send my spirit. So he, and he's called the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, because he can be with all of you all the time, full time. So he left here and he sent his spirit. And now he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. That's the big deal, being led by the Spirit. Now, there are times when I think he expects me to use my common sense, but God is free to interrupt what I'm doing at any time. And let me show you another scripture first, okay? Let's go back here to the scripture, led by the Spirit. And it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he, because he has no geographic limit to him, he will guide you into all truth. And this is amazing. Contact with God. When you're all in, you're in contact with God. You're in contact with the Holy Spirit. Best story I know is my wife driving along the road on a bridge here in the city with one of her employees. And she's talking to the employees about following the Spirit. And strangely enough, at that moment, she says to her employee, this is really funny, but I feel God wants me to switch lanes right now. And she turned to the next lane. And just when she got over to the next lane, the truck that had been right in front of her, which was carrying pallets of grass, dropped several pallets of grass off the back end of the truck. Well, that's what the Spirit's like. Boy, when you follow him, you're safe. Yep, sometimes it seems like an interruption of your own agenda, but if you're following God, what could be better? Being all in, living for Christ without reservation, means maintaining vertical connection with God. Now, it also means to dehectify, that's a word I invented, in order to do time management. Dehectic is a state of feverish activity, right? That's the meaning of hectic. And boy, we live in it, don't we? So to dehectify means to remove the hectic aspects of life in order to control our time for the purpose of reaching out. If we're always busy, always in hectic time, how will we ever reach out? We're just too busy all the time. Life is just too complex, and it encroaches and it takes over. And too much life intrusion, and we don't have time to reach out. All in means we dehectify in order to create time, space, to reach out and touch other people's lives. It's okay to work. In fact, it's not just okay, it's endorsed by God, the work ethic. But that's not, some people work 7 days a week. Huh? And some work hours and hours every day. I think that's not success at all. Success is making a reasonable income in 30 hours a week, not 75. Because then you got no time, because you're living hectified, see? And so here's a warning. Jesus said, take heed, beware of covetousness. You want this, you want to grab that. Covetousness, the Bible says, which is adultery, right? Idolatry. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. We can so get so busy getting stuff that we're hectified and we have no time to reach out. The fact is, we should not be seeking that which is temporal. Look at the scripture. If you're risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. But set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We used to get criticized. They said we were so heavenly minded, we were so earthly, no earthly good. My friend, the truth of the matter is we're so earthly minded, I'm afraid we're no heavenly good. You get to set your affections. That's the danger of every commercial advertising, is to stir you up to make you feel like you have to have something else. And so we reach and we grab and we grasp, like the poet said, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. So we have to dehectify. And then another thing, and we're on the second last point, I want you to get this. We need to be indistractable. Distractible means loss of giving your full attention to something. It means to be diverted, to be turned aside. And here comes the scriptures. I speak unto you for your profit. Watch this now. Not that I'm trying to catch a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord. Now watch this. Without distraction. Attend upon the Lord without distraction. Everything. There's so many things vying for our attention and they distract us. But all in means living for Christ without reservation. And it means being indistractable, staying on track, going where you should go, doing what you should do. And part of that is reaching out to others, that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, all in means that is what's necessary in order to prepare to reach out. Somewhere a long time ago, I learned this. You cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you do not go. That's why we have to be all in before we reach out. In other words, we have to be the authentic, all-in Christian in order to reach out. Otherwise, we'd be taking a contaminated message. I spent 3 years in the Soviet Union. I was there shortly after the Berlin Wall fell. I was in Moscow the day after the coup happened. I walked the streets where the blood and the flowers were placed, and the coup was over with. And because of that, the Soviet Union opened up to the preaching of the gospel. We were doing it anyhow. I had been in Latvia, Jelgava, Latvia, and then I moved to Moscow. And I watched different Christian movements come into Moscow and various parts of the Soviet Union. And the rock and roll gospelers came and they attracted people with their rock and roll. And big time evangelists came and had thousands of people and reported thousands of conversions. They went back and reported to their supporters and raised a bunch of money, I guess. But 30 days after, I was part of the follow-up, trying to follow up all these people who supposedly had gotten saved and become Christians. Couldn't find them. You see, the reception of a supernatural gospel brings about a supernatural experience. We must be authentic. We must be all in order to reach out. That's why Jesus put it this way. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Now, there's a big difference between fishing for fish and fishing for men. When you fish for fish, you bring them from life unto death. But when you're fishing for men, you're bringing them from death unto life. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. All in is preparation to reach out. That's what we need to do. But the beginning part is to be all in order to reach out. So what does the preparation involve? So watch with me. What we must learn is to have the right motive for reaching. We have to have the right manner. We have to have the right medium, although the medium may be modern, but the message is old-fashioned. We got to have the right message. We must grasp these four things in order to reach out. So what do we want to do when we reach out? And this is just a forecast of the next time we get together. And that is, the first thing we need to do is get attention. If we don't get people's attention, all the preaching in the world is not going to help. Nobody's paying attention. It starts with getting attention. I happen to believe the Lord is going to give us, and I'm going to show it to you real soon, methods of getting attention. Then those that we get their attention, they must have, and we must create interest. Why would they listen to this message we've gotten? We have to have attention, create interest, then we got to deliver the message, and that's got to be accurized. We'll talk about that. And then something wonderful has to happen while we're doing the message. There must come upon them a conviction that they need to do and respond the right way. Now, you can't do this alone, because remember, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will convict the world of what's right, what's wrong, and how to adjudicate things. That's what he does. But, and so we can't do this without him, but he won't do this without us. We're workers together with God. So we get attention and create interest. We deliver the message. Conviction happens. The person gets desire for God to be reached, to be found, like the lost sheep. They have the desire. And then we have to be able to close. It's a business term, but it means they've got to experience that supernatural entrance of God into their lives. And this is what we mean when we say we have to be all in, living for Christ without reservation, because all in is preparation to reach out. I didn't become a Christian until I was 18. My father was a pastor. I wish I'd tell you, got time to tell you that story. But in my early years, because the same night I became a Christian, I was filled with the Spirit. And not only that, but called to the ministry. Can you imagine that all one night? Huh? I was at that altar for 3 hours. Nobody else was around when I became aware. It was a camp meeting. Most of the lights were turned out. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. And I walked down to the shore of Lake Ontario, sat on a railroad tie, looked out across the dark skies to the stars, and realized for the first time that this God that I'd searched for wasn't just up there in the stars, but he was in my life. And I knew I was so changed. I was all in. And I wanted to live for Christ without any reservation at all. So I went to work for my dad, who moved from a pastorate to Toronto to Teen Challenge, home for drug addicts, alcoholics, runaway kids. It's strange because today it's the parents that run away, not the kids. So I worked on the streets there, and then I went to seminary. Somewhere in the mix, I read something by Horatius Bonar, and this is what he said. Thou must be true thyself if thou the truth would teach. Thy soul must overflow if thou another's soul would reach. It takes the overflow of heart to give the lips full speech. Think truly, and thy thoughts shall the world's famine feed. Speak truly, and each word shall be a great and noble seed. Live truly, and your life shall be a noble creed. It changed my life. I decided then and there, I'm all in. I hope that you are all in, which means to live for Christ without reservations. Living all in order to reach out. How important are you? There may be people who will never make heaven if they don't hear from you. There may be those who face destruction because we refuse to be the light in the world, like a city set on a hill. We refuse to be the salt of the earth. It takes being all in order to reach out. We're going to learn how to reach out next time we're together. We're going to get on this subject. But my challenge to you today is to, before God, surrender your heart, your mind, your all to Him, and make sure that you are all in.
When you look in the mirror, what do you see? David L. Johnston's book, How You See Yourself, changes lives with a new perspective to live as God intended. Life can seem like looking in a distorted carnival mirror because we do not see ourselves accurately. We are hindered by iniquity. How You See Yourself by David L. Johnston gives you God's perspective for a sound mind and freedom from fear and regrets. Take action. Order today. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/see. That's nothingbutthetruth.org/SEE.